A vote of no confidence. Election officials fight to gain the trust of a divided electorate. By Alan Greenblatt. If you watched HBO's Succession, you'll remember the scenario where some 100,000 ballots went up in flames in Milwaukee in a key episode. Given Wisconsin's swing state status in the show, as well as in real life, this triggered a legal and political nightmare in terms of knowing who legitimately won the presidential election. How likely is something like that in reality? Election officials lie awake at night worrying about problems that could cause real doubt. Election centers are equipped with sprinklers in part to protect ballots from arsonists, to cite one example. More generally, election officials draw up all kinds of contingency plans to safeguard ballots and their counting. They faced a welter of challenges in 2020, a global pandemic, historically high turnout, serious disinformation campaigns, and legal challenges lodged even before votes were cast. For the most part, they met those challenges. It was the most secure in American history, according to a bipartisan council of federal and state election security officials. It felt like everything that could happen was thrown at election officials in that election, and they responded with extraordinary success, says Derek Teisler, a democracy counsel at New York University's Brennan Center for Justice. That's the good news. The bad news is that tens of millions of Americans don't believe it. A poll released in July found that less than half the country has confidence that the vote in next year's presidential election will be counted accurately. There was a notable partisan divide in that poll. Only 22% of Republicans expressed high confidence about 2024, compared with 71% of Democrats. Red versus blue. Voting and the counting of votes has become one of the most partisan issues in a divided country. Since 2020, states run by Democrats have moved to make voting easier, in many cases codifying experiments run during the pandemic. Last year, for example, Massachusetts made no-excuse mail voting a permanent feature, while expanding both the number of early voting days and the registration period. Republicans complain that Democrats are sacrificing security to expand access in ways that help their own cause. Democrats have decided that voter fraud benefits them politically, said Senator Ted Cruz, Republican, Texas. They're willing to go to any length to tear down the reasonable, common-sense protections that protect the integrity of our elections. Red states, by contrast, have passed dozens of election security bills since the 2020 election. Some have reduced the availability of ballot drop boxes, increased voter identification requirements for absentee ballots or voting in general, prohibited drive-through voting, and banned private funding to assist election administration. Others have created election fraud criminal task forces. Our new election crimes office has sprung into action to hold individuals accountable for voter fraud. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said last year, "If you commit an elections crime, you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." Given the absence of widespread voter fraud, academic analysts and courts have found few actual examples. Democrats accuse Republicans not only of whipping up hysteria, but using fraud claims as an excuse to suppress voters, particularly groups that tend to support Democrats, such as African Americans and college students. There have indeed been cases where red states may have gone overboard. Texas, for example, passed a law in 2020 requiring counties to replace their vote-counting equipment with machines on which data, once entered, could not be modified. That would have cost counties more than $100 million. The real problem, however, is that the type of technology required by the state does not exist. The legislature repealed the requirement this year. If red states have sometimes been guilty of throwing the kitchen sink at election fraud issues, Democrats have also turned the dial up to 11 in terms of warning about the consequences. In 2021, President Joe Biden called a new Georgia election security law Jim Crow 2.0. And Major League Baseball, MLB, moved its All-Star game out of Atlanta amid widespread accusations of voter suppression. Then, in 2022, Georgia saw high turnout during the midterm election, with voters experiencing an average wait time of about 2 minutes. We showed everyone that it is easier to vote in Georgia, but it is hard to cheat, said Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's Republican Secretary of State. Atlanta is now in the mix to host the 2025 All-Star Game, according to MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. The winner effect. If elections have generally been run smoothly and there's no evidence of fraud sufficient to change outcomes, while complaints about increased security disenfranchising voters have also been exaggerated, why are so many Americans still unhappy with the system? There have always been complaints about cheating around elections. After the contested 1876 election, Democrats referred to President Rutherford B. Hayes as his fraudulency rather than his excellency. The reputation for cheating in Chicago is rooted in some historical realities. Robert Caro devoted an entire 560-page volume of his biography of President Lyndon B. Johnson to LBJ's apparent theft of a 1948 Texas Senate race. More recently, Democrats were disturbed by the Hanging Chad election of 2000, when George W. Bush was elected president thanks to a 537-vote margin over Al Gore in Florida. Counting continued for more than a month until the Supreme Court brought it to a halt. Political scientists have a polite term for when people feel cheated by the outcome of elections. They call it the winner effect. But really, it's about sore losers. Voters have lower confidence in an election when their side loses, Teisler says. People want an election that confirms their biases, and they go searching for it. It's become more common for politicians themselves to claim they've been cheated. After losing the 2018 governor's race in Georgia, Democrat Stacey Abrams refused to concede, claiming the outcome was illegitimate because Republican Brian Kemp had removed so many voters from the rolls as Secretary of State. And former President Donald Trump has spent the past 3 years complaining that the 2020 election was rigged against him. Many Republican officials have echoed those complaints. In the courts, where the standards of evidence are much higher than in the media, claims of fraud have repeatedly been dismissed. More than 50 lawsuits were filed by the Trump campaign in the wake of the 2020 election, with judges, many appointed by Trump himself, throwing them out. "Every fraud claim I was asked to investigate was false," says Ken Block, head of one of two private firms Trump himself hired to find examples. "Plaintiffs' evidence and arguments do not clear the bar," wrote a judge dismissing a case brought by Carrie Lake, the losing GOP nominee for Arizona governor last year, who claimed irregularities in that state's largest county. Post-election audits sponsored by Republican legislatures in states including Arizona and Wisconsin were unable to find evidence that results had been skewed in Biden's favor. In June, a Michigan judge fined state GOP officials nearly $60,000 for filing a lawsuit claiming voter fraud in Detroit without being able to present evidence. In April, Fox News agreed to pay Dominion Voting Systems $787.5 million to settle a defamation lawsuit after the network aired allegations about the election machine company's purported role in a global conspiracy. "The facts are very clear, verified by courts," including Trump-appointed judges and other Republican-appointed judges, says David Becker, founder of the Center for Election Innovation and Research, which consults with election officials. Contemporary elections are highly secure, protected by paper trails and cybersecurity, and repeatedly verified by audits, Becker says. The reason doubt is so resilient, he adds, is that some of the people claiming election fraud are able to raise money by fanning the flames. They're tapping into the severe disappointment of tens of millions that their candidate lost. It's not as lucrative to say, I lost the election, let's try harder next time. Evaporating trust. Contemporary elections have also gotten closer and feel more important. It's not new for official vote counts to linger on for days and weeks, but suspense becomes suspicious when the overall outcome remains in doubt. We're a very divided nation, says Christy McCormick, who chairs the Federal Election Assistance Commission. The closer the election, the more you're going to be skeptical, unless your candidate wins. That's especially true in an era when both parties spend most of their time claiming the other side will drive the country into ruin. Those kinds of charges, as well as false claims about fraud, spread far and wide and quickly via social media. Many are propelled, as Becker suggests, by malicious actors, including foreign governments. In addition to being highly partisan, this is an area when trust in institutions, whether schools or news media, Congress or the courts, is in decline. The number one thing in an election system is trust, says Michael Adams, the Republican Secretary of State in Kentucky. If you don't have trust, you don't have anything. Adams was able to defeat a pair of challengers in his state's primary election in May who denied the validity of the 2020 presidential vote. He also helped shape legislation that is unique these days, bills that have heightened security while also increasing access. Kentucky may be the only state in the South that has made voting easier since 2020, increasing absentee and early voting while also addressing issues with chain of custody of ballots, signature discrepancies, and voting tabulation methods. In Kentucky, we have the trust of both halves of the electorate. Adams says, Democrats trust me not to suppress the vote, while Republicans know that I believe in security. One thing does worry Adams, however. The top local election officials in 23 of Kentucky's 120 counties decided not to run for re-election this year. That's a high rate of attrition, but it's in keeping with quits all over the country. According to the Brennan Center, 12% of local election officials are new in their jobs since 2020, while another 11% intend to leave prior to next year's election. There are 10,000 separate jurisdictions running elections across the country. A lot of them only have one or two full-time staffers. That means if someone leaves, nearly all the institutional knowledge walks out the door with them. You're losing people. And you have to train new people, Adams says. If they make mistakes, all that does is feed conspiracy theories. Election officials are now routinely flooded with complaints about procedures or outcomes, even in counties where winning margins are too enormous ever to be in doubt. That is, when they're not being bombarded with threats. Ider Garcia, the top election administrator in Tarrant County, Texas, testified before the Senate about receiving death threats, with one saying his lifeless body should hang in public until maggots drip out of his mouth. Garcia resigned from his job in June. Their best-case scenario for doing a great job is anonymity. That on a Wednesday after an election, no one is talking about problems. Becker says. Now, their worst-case scenario, even if they run a great election, is that they're going to be targeted and even hunted by extremists who are mobilized and incited by people telling them lies. Garcia was widely respected within the field. If you were building a prototype for an election administrator, you would just copy Ider Garcia. Texas Secretary of State John Scott, a Republican, said last year. Despite his vilification, he worked hard to win over skeptics, giving tours of his office and running workshops so doubters could see how the process works. He met with skeptics in person and over Zoom, setting up screens so more people could watch the vote count in real time. Given the temper of the times, many election administrators are similarly striving to make their work more transparent. The more people see the way elections are run, up close, the better, McCormick says. Distrust is bred by uncertainty. Vote counts dragging on for days makes people wonder if outcomes are somehow being manufactured. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, which promotes election integrity laws, calls for absentee votes to be accepted and counted no later than Election Day. As a model, they point to Florida, which after 2000 overhauled its election administration and now consistently is among the first states to report results. When Americans go to bed on election night 2024, they should know who the next president is and who their elected leaders are going to be, said Lauren Bowman, the center's director of media affairs. Restoring the confidence in elections is so important, and that happens with the results coming in quickly and efficiently. Alan Greenblatt is a senior staff writer with Governing. Sidebars. 30% share of local election officials who say they have been abused, harassed, or threatened. 1 million workers needed nationwide to run presidential elections. 159,738,337 total ballots cast and counted in 2020. 69% voters in 2020 who cast ballots by mail or before Election Day. 8. States with all-mail balloting, plus Washington, D.C. 65% active-duty military personnel who voted by mail in 2020. 37% eligible citizens who voted in 2018, 2020, and 2022. 13. States that gained or lost votes in the Electoral College following the 2020 census. 44% Americans who say they are confident that votes will be counted accurately in 2024. 1900, the last time the turnout of eligible voters exceeded that of 2020. Voting by mail. Mail voting is essentially a military invention. Pennsylvania allowed soldiers to vote from the field during the War of 1812. It was an idea that Abraham Lincoln, worried about his absent supporters, actively encouraged during the Civil War. By 1864, 19 northern states and 6 southern states allowed soldiers to vote absentee, and at least 150,000 did. Allowing military personnel, their families, and civilians overseas to vote is one reason mail voting will likely never be eliminated. We do prioritize our military and overseas voters, says Christy McCormick, who chairs the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. They're serving our country overseas and on bases in this country, and they deserve a voice in the way the country's run, the country they're protecting. Mail voting became controversial in 2020 when President Donald Trump suggested it not only invited but practically guaranteed cheating. He called the idea of sending out absentee ballots to all voters, not just those who requested them, a whole big scam. Trump and other critics say that absentee ballots can be selectively harvested, with operatives filling in some and tossing those from voters on the other side. The one time something like this happened, involving a North Carolina congressional race in 2018, the cheating was detected quickly and Republicans won the do-over election after their original candidate had been disqualified. Republicans have traditionally been fans of mail voting. There was no partisan gap in absentee voting in 2016 or earlier elections. For many years, Republican operatives had perfected the art of organizing and encouraging absentee ballots because so many seniors liked to vote by mail and tended to vote Republican, says Whit Ayers, a GOP consultant. The question is how things will look going forward. Since 2020, several states have tightened their security requirements for absentee ballots, involving things like signature matches and personal identifiers, such as driver's license numbers or the last four digits of Social Security numbers. Other states remain more lax. The share of voters casting mail ballots dropped from 43% in 2020 to 32% last year. That's still a historically high number. Republicans, having criticized the method in 2020, now seem to recognize it's a game they can't afford to not play. "The rules are the rules," said GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, where state elections are being held in November. "We are going to drive early voting and absentee ballots, and we are not going to be behind on Election Day." The Electronic Registration Information Center. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose held a news conference in February to discuss the ways his state was making elections more transparent and secure. One indispensable tool, he said, was ERIC, or the Electronic Registration Information Center, a data-sharing effort among states. "It is one of the best fraud-fighting tools we have," said LaRose, a Republican. By the following month, he'd changed his mind. LaRose announced that Ohio was joining other red states, 9 so far, in leaving ERIC. "One of the ways states combat fraud is by keeping their registration rolls up to date, purging voters who have died or moved to other jurisdictions. The only ways they know if a voter has moved to another state is if either the voter or that state tells them." At its peak, ERIC made such information available among 30 states. ERIC, though, also requires states to send out information to eligible citizens that they should register to vote. Last year, the Gateway Pundit, a right-wing site, published a series of posts claiming that ERIC received funding from liberal billionaire George Soros and was sharing voter information with groups on the left. They seemed to be partnering with other nonprofits that seem to have a left-wing agenda, says Matt Brainerd, who directs Look Ahead America, a conservative group that combats election fraud. John Merrill, a Republican who served as Secretary of State in Alabama until January, says all these charges are false. Merrill was part of a group of secretaries of state who wanted to audit ERIC to address some of the concerns. That didn't happen in time to stop the exodus. ERIC is now a prime target for conservatives. "It's going to leave you in a position of not having a tool you can use to prevent voter fraud," Merrill says. "It's going to be a major concern for states that are concerned with election integrity. ERIC, or something like it, fulfills a real need," says Brainerd, a former Trump campaign official. But he contends that aside from the accusations of bias, it's gotten too expensive and burdensome for states. "A system such as ERIC should be federally mandated," he suggests, although he's not confident that red and blue states will continue collaborating on such efforts. "I think there is a red-blue divide in the country," Brainerd says, "where you end up with two different systems. This circle of distrust is why Michael Adams is thinking about leaving ERIC." Adams, the Republican Secretary of State in Kentucky, is concerned that the quality and amount of data he'll gain access to will necessarily diminish, while his dues as a remaining state could suddenly spike. For those reasons, he's considering giving up a tool that has helped Kentucky remove 300,000 errant registrations from its rolls. "Our value proposition becomes a lot lower," Adams says. "It's got nothing to do with George Soros. It has to do with access to information." End of sidebars.